And, well, I guess not if you want to. Would you please head back to your seats? Well, I trust that you've had a good Christmas break. Some of you have. Some of you haven't had much of a break at all. Some of you, it's just been a blur. Some of you, this is the break. You're like, check me in, have a nice boring sermon so I can rest a little bit, and then I can go back to my next family thing a little bit later. I know none of you are thinking that. So, well, this morning we're heading into a new series over the next 4 weeks. Seems a little odd at the end of the year, but it's what I sense God leading me to. We're going to look at generosity, and often in the church when we look at generosity or giving or tithing or anything like that, usually there's all sorts of feelings, both as a pastor and as church leaders. Is it the right time? How do we do the right tone so we don't offend people? And as just people as part of a church family, what are they getting at? Do they just want more money? What's our purpose? I'm giving enough. I'm not giving enough. There's guilt. There's all sorts of stuff because it's our stuff. It's our money. It very much hits home. But this morning, we're not even going to really talk about giving because the bottom line for generosity, which is something that's taught both in the Old Testament and New Testament, living a generous life, that's the abundant life that Jesus promises us, where we are willing to, of our time and our stuff and our money and who we are, we're just generous. We're just generous. But where does that start? If that's the end goal, there has to be a starting point somewhere. And this morning I want to look at the reality that it really starts with an understanding of our identity. Now, who out there, I know it's like Star Wars buzz right now, but who's a bit of a Lord of the Rings fan? You know, a little bit, whoa, okay, Jonathan. So there's a plot point in the Lord of the Rings books and movies, if you're unfamiliar with them, that centers around the kingdom of men. And it's a town, a kingdom called Gondor, and it's the great kingdom of men. And there's two particular people in that storyline and have a vested interest in this kingdom. One is named Aragorn, and one is named Denethor. Now, Aragorn, he's the rightful king. Okay, he should be sitting on the throne. It's this guy on the left there who looks like a king. And he should be on the throne and should be ruling. And when we first meet him in the story, he's not, for all sorts of reasons I'm not even going to get into. But he's involved in this plot or this decision to get rid of this evil ring and save the world. So he's off doing some other things, and he's left for all sorts of reasons. His lineage is that he should be on the throne. He's the rightful king, but most people don't know it. This guy over here, his name is Denethor, and his ancestors and him are the stewards of Gondor. And so they are given the task of overseeing the kingdom while the king is gone. They're to make decisions like the king would. They have no power or right to that position, but they've been given the authority to oversee that. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at generosity and how to become generous people. And this is going to come into play quite a bit. Most people would say on some level that they want to be more generous, would agree that they could probably give more to those in need. That if we really look in North America, whenever, and we're inundated with it, aren't we? At church and Facebook and school and fundraising and give. Sometimes it's white noise. And we'd all say we want to be a little bit more generous. But generosity isn't actually about how much we give, even who you give it to or where you give it. It's actually about our identity. Generosity is about generous followers of Jesus understand their identity. People who follow Jesus and are generous are people who understand at a base level what their identity is. So let's look at two passages that will help us better understand our identity and how it relates to generosity. Now, I want to make a disclaimer right off the bat. Some of the seeds for this message today are from a resource from Mennonite Foundation of Canada. We have some people in our church family who work there. They have a head office here. Our denomination and our church works with them. They help in estate planning and financial understanding and stewardship as believers. And the resource is called From Grateful to Generous, Stewardship Sermons by John Neufeld, something he wrote about 2 or 3 years ago. And so some of the seeds for this came from a few of those sermons. Genesis 1:26 to 28 says this. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our own image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock and the wild animals of the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground." And then we see in Psalm 8, verses 3 to 8, kind of a poetic version of this, hearkening back to this. "When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that are set in place," here's what this author thinks. "What are mere mortals?" So what am I as a human being that God should think about them, that you should think about us, human beings that you should care for them? "Yet you made them only a little lower than God," or in some translations says little lower than the angels, "and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents." So if God is God, okay, and we are humans, what is our role on the earth? Why did he create us? Well, the reality is that we're so important that he made us a little less than angels, or himself a little more than the animals. Now, there's some extremes there. Some people would say we're just no more than animals. We're just more evolved animals and nothing more to it. And because we've evolved, then we have a right to do certain things over the earth. But that's not what the Bible teaches at all. It says that he created us as unique, that we're part of creation. But here's the thing, we're over it. We're part of it, but we're over it. And a lot of harm has been done by misunderstanding these two terms about this whole subdue and reign over the earth. It doesn't mean to pillage, plunder, abuse for our good, do whatever you want with your life, with the resources on the earth, with money, with others. It doesn't mean that we're completely in charge. We don't own the world. We didn't make it. It's someone else's. It's God's. But he has made us different. He's made us different than the animals and the angels because we can have relationship with him. And in that relationship, he gives us this role as humanity. We're stewards. We have charge over the earth. It's the same way as Denethor was steward to care for the kingdom of Gondor. In the king's absence, he was to make decisions on behalf of the king, not to take the kingdom in some other direction. You ever heard the term at work, you know, when the cat's away, the mice will play, the boss is gone, so let's do whatever we want. It's not like that. It's still God's, and he wants to be in relationship with us, and he can do whatever he wants. Okay, reality is he doesn't need your money. He doesn't need you to do anything for him. He needs nothing. But in his economy, the way he created the earth, he wants to work in and through us. Why? Because that's part of relationship. He created us to be in relationship with him, and one of the key parts of that is understanding that our identity is tied to him in how we live, how we oversee, how we steward. Giving, tithing, donating at church is often called stewardship, and it's usually linked to how much a percentage you give or what you give or anything like that. Sometimes you'll talk about your energy and your time, and so be volunteering and giving. But I don't think stewardship really has to do with that much at all. On some level it does, but that's a pretty weak, shallow understanding of stewardship. Stewardship isn't about what we give. Stewardship is about who we are. And if you understand who you are, then generosity can flow from that. If you understand that what you have and who you are isn't yours, but you're connected to God, and all that you've been given is his, and you can rely on him to lead you to do with your stuff and time and energy what he wants because it's not yours anyway, your life gets flipped upside down. It's a very different way to live. A guy by the name of Everett Reynolds in a book called Stepping Stones of Stewardship says this: God started with nothing and he made the world. He made this great, grand, and glorious world and everything in it. It all belongs to God alone. Yes, everything in it, in this world, belongs to God. It's God's because God made it. The trees, grass, mountains, rivers, men and women, the ability to think, to talk, to walk, to see, to hear, the ability to transform that which God has given me into other things, such as material, energy, and food. All of these things come from God. To work, to use the gifts of life, to sing, to draw, to act, to think, they're all given by God. Yes, The list is endless. All that God has made and allowed us to use or transform comes from God, who made everything. The idea of being a steward is something that is very, very countercultural. Boxing Day yesterday, right? We were in the office and someone was telling about a fight over a parking space in Mississauga, and then we've seen Black Friday and all this stuff. Stewardship is something that's very different. It's countercultural. And in North America, I think we probably, at least on some level, even us, if we're really truthfully honest, view the world through a lens like this. Okay, here's a North American lens. First of all, I am a consumer. We just always want something. I consume things. So I'm farming because I'm going to consume that. I'm buying because I want to use that thing. I want to consume. If you bought anything for Christmas on any level because you saw an ad and it kind of sparked something in you that you kind of wanted that, and it wasn't completely a need, like, you know, you had a furnace breakdown and you had to buy a new furnace. So anything else, I'm not saying it's wrong to buy things. I'm saying we are consumers. We just live in it. It comes naturally to us. We're not used to not being in a consumeristic society. Our world is about consumerism. In fact, our whole economy is built on that. If we weren't consumers right now, it would all collapse. So we are built in North America on being consumers. In fact, the world is built on being consumers. So I am a consumer. That's the lens that North Americans and most of the world see the world. I am a self-made individual. I am who I am, and I have what I have solely because of me. So my hard work, my gifts, my talents, my abilities, and when I compare myself to this guy over here who hasn't made it as much as me, I feel a little better. And when I compare myself to this guy over here who seems to have it a little bit more together than me, I know I need to maybe take a conference or a self-help book or better myself so I can become that. I'm a self-made individual. We just have that built into our society. I'm a master of two things. I'm a master of my environment, so I'm focused on the immediate need. My lawn, my food, what's around me without long-term effects. I'm tired and worn out, so I'm going to rest today regardless of how it affects my family or my business or whatever. I'm a master of the things around me, my environment, and it's tied closely to I'm a master and owner of my stuff. I own what I have. I've earned it. It's mine to do with what I please. Now, you might think that there's many who don't live like this. Think of celebrities who, you know, donate and fundraise and do all sorts of stuff like that. And that's good and that's healthy. And anytime there's good done in the world where someone isn't a follower of Jesus, it's them actually walking and living within their image-bearingness of God. God has made us in his image, and there are parts of our being that just naturally are more like him. And there's this whole sinful nature and flesh and all that stuff that wars against that. So there are people who give of their time and money and things generously, but I think if you dug to the core of at least some of them, I'm not going to label anyone, but at least some of them, some who give millions and billions in time and all this stuff, it still comes from I'm a master mentality, not from I'm a steward. So I've made it. I've made all this money. I've worked myself up to a place in this job where I don't have to work every day. And so I now, with my time, I can give a day a week to this. Or I can give out of the abundance of what I've made to you. I'm not going to say I'm better than you, but you know, it's mine to give. Even there, it's still not stewardship. Do you see generosity? It's not about how much you give, where you give, what you give. It's about identity. You can be generous and still a greedy person. You can, or at least seemingly generous. You can give a lot of stuff and time and still your heart can be desperately far from God and you can be horribly lonely. The basic problem with this isn't about how we act, what we buy, what we destroy, what we take, what we consume. The real problem is that those attitudes come from a belief that I am God. I am God, and I'm not his steward. Psalm 8, 6 to 8 says this. Again, we've read this already. You gave them charge, humans. You gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority. Flocks and herds, you can add whatever you want in there. Business, iPhones, money, cars, add any modern thing you want in there. He's given us authority to use them as we see fit. We have charge over things and authority to care for them, but they are not ours. You ever lent something to someone? Now I'm going to say this kind of from a backwards point of view. I've lent some of my stuff. I realize in saying my stuff, aren't you preaching that it's not my stuff? I'm just going to say it because often when I lend my stuff, I lend my stuff. In fact, a few years ago, I stopped keeping a list. God led me to stop keeping a list in my office of books I lent out because I'd always look at that and go, that person hasn't given me that book yet. And, so now, they're not mine. So that's one small step that God's done in my heart to be able to give those things out freely and not worry about. But if I'm really honest, when I lend something out, it's my stuff. So you ever lent something out and someone uses your thing, your stuff, whatever you lend, and it comes back to you on time in good condition or better than you gave it? How does it make you feel? Pretty good, right? You're like, yeah, I like that person. They're a good human. Check mark, right? Now, have you ever lent your stuff to someone? And Stephanie and I have lent stuff to people where they wreck it or they abuse it or it comes back broken. Even worse still, it comes back broken and they don't say anything. And you're like, what? Like, you can't figure it out. How does it make you feel? Not very good, okay? Now, I'm not going to make the tie between that's how God views you when you don't steward. Okay, I'm not going there because God's better than me, okay? He's way better than me. But the principle is the same. Who's the better steward? One who cares for and treats as the owner would want, or the one who just kind of uses it for the immediate need and, I broke it or whatever, but it's just stuff, or I don't want to make the relationship awkward and icky. How's your relationship with someone if you break something and you give it back and you hope they don't notice, right? You don't talk to them as much or not as open because you're always worried. Are they going to call me out on this? Okay, so who's the better steward? Obviously someone who treats the stuff the way the owner would want to. So what does this mean to be a steward? Okay, a steward in God's world. First of all, it means I am created. Okay? I am created. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. In the image of God, like him, but not him. I am not God. I don't seek to become a God inside. I don't seek to become one with the universe who, if I'm just good to it, the universe will send back to me all the good things. I'm not God. I'm a created part of what God has made. And he's made it for his glory and my good, primarily as a human being. I'm the top. I'm not me personally. We as humans, we're his prized possession, his special creation. So first of all, a steward understands that I am created. Secondly, I am given oversight. There's a couple words we find in Genesis 20, chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. The first one is reign over. So human beings are to reign over all of the non-human creatures, okay? We reign over. And there was no death or killing or eating meat before before the fall, before the first sin. You all better be vegetarians if you want to follow Jesus or anything like that, but that's just the reality. That's the way God created it. And so we were given oversight over all non-human creatures. We're to oversee them. We're to reign over them. That's not a tyrannical dictatorship thing. We're the zookeeper, okay? We got to make sure everything's going on. The second thing is to govern. So the other term is to govern over all the rest of the stuff, all the rest of the world. We govern and reign over to make sure it's running well, okay? So I'm given oversight. I have a role in this. And the next one is I'm given responsibilities within that role. Genesis 2, 15 and 19 says this, to tend and watch over the garden, and also to name the creatures. That's our first jobs. We were to tend, watch over the gardens, and to name the creatures. I'm dependent on nature. Okay, here's where things turn on their head a little bit. The very thing I'm governing over, I'm dependent on. So I depend on that food, those animals, the world I'm placed in. And if I govern it well, I'm going to be well cared for. If I don't govern it well, it won't go well because I have been given every plant for food and I've been created from the dust. I'm an integral part of it. I oversee it, but man, if I let this thing die, like look at the pictures and all the news stuff of China and the smog reports and all that stuff. That's craziness. If we don't care for what's given us in our world, we're directly impacted. And finally, I have limited freedom. You may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why do we have limited freedom? Because we're stewards. We don't get to do whatever the heck we want. We run it past the Maker first. And so we have limited freedom. I am not God. I can't do whatever I want because I know that I have ripple effects as one amongst millions who are given the same role. I'm not above you. You're not above me in this. I can either reject my role and assume I'm God and act accordingly or be a steward. I have a role. I've been given freedom, responsibility, but they come under God and his instruction and his plan. I have a very important part to play in this plan, don't I? And you do too. But if my understanding of who I am and my role, as I think about generosity and stewardship, if I'm separated from the Maker, if I'm not in relationship with him, I can't hope to fulfill my role or experience the very life God wanted to give me. It's all tied together. Here's a couple definitions of the term steward. A person appointed by an organization or group to supervise the affairs of that group at a certain function. So my sister-in-law was in charge of some events for a certain organization as an internship, and so she would order the food, make sure there was places to stay and all this stuff. She got everything together for the people who'd come to this event. She wasn't in charge of the event. She didn't own the people. She just made sure that it all got going together and would happen the way it needed to without the responsibility of ownership. She was a steward of that event. Another one is a person who is charged over the household of another, buying or obtaining food, directing the servants, etc. Downton Abbey, okay? The estate manager or butler, okay? They're not in charge. They're not part of the family, but they steward the affairs of the home. And some of you now are thinking, am I caught up? What episode am I on? Does Netflix have the next season yet? Who has? Okay. Bring you back in for a minute, okay? All right. I know some of you got that under the tree and you can't wait to get home. I think God wants to change how you and I think, not only about giving, but about life. I think our identity is rooted in him, and that identity at its core is one of steward. Our identity in Christ is one of steward, and we are to be in relationship with him. That's where we gain our identity. Anything less than that, we are robbing ourselves of life. In The Lord of the Rings, Denethor would not willingly give up the throne. He didn't want to let it go. He fought for it and he went mad because he wouldn't fulfill his role. And we do the same thing, scurrying about life, buying, taking, do whatever we want in a world to get fulfillment, and it's just chasing the wind because we're chasing after the wrong thing. Our satisfaction, our abundance in life is meant to come under God, receive our satisfaction, our identity from him as steward, and have him provide for our needs so that we're not greedy and all consumed and all of those things. Yes, generosity is a part of that, but it's the outpouring of that. God wants us to be good stewards of his world. A good steward knows how to manage the affairs of the owner, the king, the master, and you have to be in relationship with him to do that. And if you're not, I encourage you, get a Bible. Talk to another follower of Jesus. Learn what all this is about. It's God's intent. It's for our good. You see how different this is? Generosity is not about, boy, the church could really use some money. There's poor people who really need your... Yes, that's the outpouring of it, and that's kind of the practical side. Yes, we'll take care of the needs of the poor and all that stuff. And it is part of God's economy that we'd share together and that we'd steward those gifts. But at its heart, it's about your identity. It's about his glory and your good. Generous followers of Jesus understand their identity. So how would your life be different if you didn't view your money, your stuff, your time, your energy, the world you live in as yours? What if you viewed yourself as a steward rather than an owner? And I can't stand up here and say, boy, I view when I get up, I go to God and say, what do you want me to spend every minute of every day, every minute today on? What should I spend every, you know, I'm flipping through the Boxing Day thing. Sometimes I'm, you know, I'm not thinking steward. I'm thinking Jeremy, right? So I can't say that I've got this all together, but it's growing in me. Because as I press into the vine, learn to be more of a steward, learn more about my identity in Christ, I become a better steward, and I experience abundant life. Psalm 8:4 says that God cares for us. Genesis 1 says that we're made in God's image. What if those two things are together? What if God's care for us and part of our image-bearingness of God is the same thought, that he created us in his image because he's planted within us everything we need to govern and steward this earth and our lives as long as we're connected with him? It's the same thing. They're not separate teachings. It's one and the same. It's both and. What does this have to do with generosity? There's no use me telling you to be generous, to give to the poor, to use what you have for others if your identity's off. If you're not rooted into a true identity, if you're living out of a false identity. The pathway to being generous and fulfilled and having an abundant life where all your needs are cared for and you don't have to worry starts with an understanding of your identity in Christ. It has to start there. May you think differently about yourself, about your world. May you think differently and not be a consumer, an owner, an independent master of your world, but rather a steward with worth and value as an important part of God's plan. You are not these like lowly servants of God. He holds you in high esteem. You are his treasured creation, and he's given you great authority and a great role. It's not a demeaning thing. It's actually an uplifting thing. Think about your own stuff. Think about your most prized possession. Think about it. What would that be if you were asked today to give up your most prized thing? For some of you, it's family. For some of you, it's that new thing. It's a car. It's an accomplishment. It's a business you built. Who knows? If you had to give it up, what would that prize thing be? You would only give that to someone worthy of stewarding that and using it well. And God's already done that to us. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares for us, that he sent his one and only son for that. And so our stewardship, our generosity, it's all rooted in our identity in Jesus Christ. And the outpouring of that is that our behavior then is as a people who are generous. And we have so many generous people here. And we just do. And for some of you, you know, this morning you're like, yep, I'm there. And so if you're already doing the behavior of generosity, I want you to consider your heart. Are you that connected to the Maker? Are you stewarding his stuff because it's his stuff? Or are you simply giving out of the abundance of what he's blessed you with but you own, but you actually don't own? Consider your heart in this. And if you're not generous and you're not there and you're not really giving to others, generosity has nothing to do with how much you make. It just doesn't. It has to do with your identity, what God has given you in your life and how you use that on his behalf. I want to encourage you. There's almost more verses in the Bible about money and practical things like this than anything else. At least it's a very consistent theme. God knows that our everyday lives matter. Christianity isn't this ethereal, you know, touchy-feely thing where it has nothing practical. God is very practical, but he holds you in high esteem. You are his prized creation, and he's given you the role of steward. And where you and I fall into that role and understand that identity, we'll experience abundant life. And when we don't, we're going to experience all the other junk that the world we live in just continues to spin its tires in and chasing after the wind, and can't be fulfilled. You can't be fulfilled in that. You never will be, ever. So I encourage you, spend some time with God. Consider where your heart is at. Are you a steward or are you an owner? And what would God have you do as an outpouring of that? Thanks for being here this morning. And I'm just going to have a stand. I'm going to pray as we go, if you're able to stay. I think there's coffee. Is there coffee? Did someone make coffee? Yes, okay, there's coffee. So if you want to stay for a coffee, that'd be great. You can leave the chairs up. Leave them up. Don't put them away. And if you need to go, then go. If you're able to stay and visit, then do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. God, we pray just again, a blessing on the McDonald family. Thanks so much for them. May they just have such a wonderful Christmas as new parents and all the memories that go with that. Thanks so much for their heart to follow you. To place their most prized possession in your hands and say that Leo is not their own, but is yours. Give them everything they need for life and godliness to raise him well and to do everything that you've called them to do. God, may that be our story as well, that we would take our prized possessions and dedicate them to you, our whole life, that we would be stewards and that we would continue to be known as people who are full of love and generosity, not just monetary things, but just a life and a people who are generous because we're rooted and established in you. Give us a safe week, a wonderful week as we head into this new year. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.